Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, Ma.
Hi, BA.
What's the name of that show you made me watch when you came to visit me last month?
What? Virgin River?
My mom likes to keep busy now that she's retired, which, given the pandemic, means a whole lot of streaming these days. How fast did you watch all of it?
I want to say I started on a Sunday afternoon and I went through to maybe midnight, 1 o'clock.
Damn.
You know how I feel about Jack and Virgin River. He's all messed up, but my God, he's got a dimple that you just want to look at for days. And here comes Mel into his life. And, you know, he thinks that he would never find love. And she's just as messed up as he is.
Look me in the eye and tell me you don't care about me the same way I care about you. And I will leave you alone.
I can't.
Well, I know enough to know I'm right about us.
But there's very specific content that she's also been watching.
At least we appreciated 365 days. Let me tell you. All of us.
What do you mean all of us?
Loved watching Massimo's behind. Yes, we did. That wasn't even romance.
What do you mean all of us? Who's all of us?
All of us on Facebook.
Have you noticed lately? Your moms, your aunts, your friends being really aroused on Maine? Swooning during the pandemic, even more so than usual. Just sexy streaming left and right. Netflix gems like Bridgerton.
I am yours, Daphne. I have always been yours.
365 days setting a viewing record in so many countries that they've now filmed 2 sequels.
Are you lost, baby girl?
From Starz, P-Valley to Hulu's Normal People, the thirst tweets have been never ending.
My mom, she's watching the Cook of Castamar.
Oh, so is mine.
Was that like a mom thing?
I think we just have horny moms, which rules, you know, good for us.
I spoke with Cut writer Allison P. Davis because she is my go-to sexy streaming expert.
I currently have my own erotic thriller in development. I'm writing a TV show playing on the tropes of the rom-com heroine and flipping it into an erotic thriller following a woman on a globe-trotting fuckcation around Europe. I'm helping the cause single-handedly, trying to bring back the erotic thriller. Well, I guess there's other people contributing too, but I am trying the hardest.
It seems like over the pandemic, people have gotten real like horny on Maine, like with the shows that they watch and the things that they're enjoying. There's less feeling of shame about it because I feel like we were supposed to feel embarrassed before.
Did you feel ashamed?
I know I did. Back in the 90s, there were these shows like The Red Shoe Diaries and Taxi Cab Confessions. They were confined to the late night pay cable landscape and the plots were unimportant. The point was the intimacy, the sex, a morose David Duchovny walking an adorable dog beside a train track, highly enjoyable, but not exactly something to brag about watching.
I think the genre is looked down upon, like any women's genre. Whenever like women are out there really expressing what they want, it's easily dismissed. But I think it's changing, hopefully.
Allison says it's a more complicated conversation now. That's because we've changed, and the smut's changed. Consent is hot. Women being adored is now hopefully the minimum. Pleasure is a must. And all of that is worth talking about in public.
Horny on Main had been a thing, right? Percolating, and like people were much more proudly horny on Main in the past couple of years. And it sort of just television rose to meet it finally. Because like Sex Life, when I watched it, I was like, this is basically Red Shoe Diaries, right? Like I watched every episode, talked about it with my friend endlessly. The sex was good and it was like really fun and frothy. And I think that's a show where we should just be like, hey, that was just like fucking for fucking sake. We need more shows like that.
And we're getting them because the age of streaming has opened up an entire universe of what horny TV can look like. There are the descendants of the late night cable shows a la Sex Life. But what we're getting more often than not are Hallmark Christmas romances and V.C. Andrews adaptations and corset intrigue. Because even if we've grown more comfortable with our collective horniness on Maine, we're still a little squeamish when it comes to what we'll be horny about. A lot of us want our smut with a veneer of something, I don't know, highbrow.
It's hard to make something that's purely smut for smut's sake. Like, if you want to make something smutty, I feel like you got to attach a lot of meaning to it. So it sort of like gets by, like it sticks under the radar and doesn't offend anybody. You know, like Bridgerton was like prestige sleeves, you know, prestige. Does that work?
I'm into it because there's like a whole episode of them screwing around a castle. Like, it's okay. And it's up for best drama at the Emmys this year.
I'm happy for that.
Our smut-filled streaming has now been packaged in a perfect prestige bow, making people more comfortable talking about what they're watching and what they desire. But why do we even need the bow in the first place?
I want to talk about normal people, right?
Okay. Is that prestige? Because I feel like it's prestige because it was like natural lighting. It's...
Yeah, because it was shot like a Merchant Ivory film that like Nicole Kidman would have been in 1998. You know, like it was like very serious and moody. But here's my whole thing about Sally Rooney. Like, when I take away the need to raise it to the highest of literary highbrow, I'm like, this is some good smut. I read Sally Rooney to get wet. I watch normal people to be aroused. So to me, it's the best Chris Lee's we have. And frankly, I think we should just call it what it is, which is like a good sexy soap opera, you know? But sure, prestige. I will leave it in prestige. It should never have been categorized as prestige all the way.
But when he starts crying during the therapy session because he's got anxiety and depression, I'm like, I feel that.
I hate it here. And I can never go back. Because those friendships are gone. And
see, that's a guy I would stress out over.
Oh, for sure. It makes it more erotic because he's so in touch with his emotions.
No one is ever going to hurt you like that again. Everything's going to be all right, trust me. So I love you. And I'm not going to let anything like that happen to you again.
I guess that's all that is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Just we're thirsty for emotionally intelligent men.
That's all it took. Goddamn. See? An emotionally intelligent man who's naked.
Like, where's a gold chain? Like, we're so corny. But it works.
And who cares about these labels anyway? It's beautiful, lustful people with drama that's not mine. And if that's not good television, then what is? After the break, the show Sex Life teaches my mom something new.
That's when I found out about the penis envy. The husband saw the man's penis. That's why he was, he's a little upset.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within art, beats, and lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Embracing nature is more than just going for a walk now and then. It's reconnecting with the elements. It's harnessing the power of natural ingredients. It's putting the earth first. For over 50 years, Nature's Sunshine has been sharing the healing power of nature as they work towards a healthier planet. Their manufacturing facility is 100% powered by sunlight, and they divert 95% of waste away from landfills. If you're looking for a sustainably made herbal supplement, you might want to check out Nature's Sunshine and their new power line. Power Beets are a superfood performance booster that can help enhance both performance and blood flow. And Power Meal is a satisfying protein-packed superfood shake that comes in sustainable packaging made with nearly 40% post-consumer recycled plastics. Now that's something you can feel good about. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.
Female desire has been seen as such a dangerous force for millennia. Women have been told to squash it. Don't be a slut, quote unquote. If you have been, then hide it. Lower your number, the number of people you've had sex with. Make yourself marriage worthy, quote unquote, and then put all that stuff away.
Stacey Rukeyser is the creator of the recent Netflix hit series, Sex Life.
Sex Life is about a wife and mom who seemingly has it all, living this life in the suburbs with her husband and her two kids, but she can't help but yearn for her wild child, single in the city days, and this impossibly sexy ex-boyfriend of hers. And so she starts writing about those days and nights in her journal. And then her husband reads her journal.
The character Billy reminisces about her grad school days, where she'd party all night, switch sexual partners with her BFF in the middle of their kitchen, and, you know, write brilliant psychology papers in the midst of all that acrobatic sex.
There was a time in my life when I felt free, and the world was full of possibilities.
As a wife and mom myself, I could understand some of those feelings that come late at night when you're up all night with your baby and in the nursing chair and wondering, who am I now? And where did that other girl go? And wanting to have that other wilder, steamier, free, fun part of yourself. And how do you meld that with being the person you are now? And what I found is that a lot of the most interesting explorations of female sexuality are sort of lesbian stories, you know, film or television, that they kind of get it right the most because they care about, you know, the female pleasure. And heterosexual stories, it often really was about the kind of sex the man likes and whether or not the woman will come to like that kind of sex too. And I was just not interested in putting more images of that out into the world.
What are you doing?
You want me to stop? Or should I keep going?
Those were the days. People say you don't know them when you're having them. But I knew.
Billy is emotionally and sexually caught between two worlds. The current one with her straight-laced vanilla husband, Cooper, and their kids. And reconnecting with her bad boy ex-boyfriend, the aggro leather jacket wearing Brad, who sends mixed messages and doesn't respect boundaries and secretly sets up a FaceTime call so Billy can watch him have sex with her best friend without said best friend's consent. Full disclosure, I'm a little bit biased.
What makes Brad so great?
That's awesome. You are Team Cooper.
I am Team Cooper.
Brad, he does see Billy. He saw all parts from the very beginning and accepted all those parts of her. He loved that she was a PhD student, not afraid of a smart, successful woman. He loved that she was wild and free. She has a big appetite and he is up for that, you know, and excited by that and not saying like, well, don't want so much, all that kind of stuff.
He's too volatile for me. It's exhausting.
I get that, but I just think you're not necessarily in the place where you've been not made love to properly for a very long time and your life is really boring. And is that going to be enough? But I think everybody is trying to get some piece of zhuzh or whatever, you know, back in their life, which is why they watch these shows too, because then you don't have to leave your husband. You can just watch Billy do it and live vicariously through her.
We have to talk about episode 3, Stacey.
Okay.
Because there were a lot of comments, questions.
I didn't see that. Oh, really? Did that turn into a meme or a TikTok thing? I didn't see that.
Maybe. Because that scene, you know the scene.
I do, yes.
Sex Life went viral this summer when TikTok users were challenging each other to blind react to episode 3 at 19 minutes and 50 seconds. If you don't want to know what happens, fair warning, I'm about to spoil it for you. Billy's husband Cooper locates her ex, friggin' Brad, and starts to follow him around town.
The way that it was written and how it was conceived was really a story point for Cooper because it's intended to show how far down the rabbit hole Cooper has gone and how obsessed Cooper is. You know, it's like, it starts with him, he's masturbating, reading his wife's journal and going like, oh my God, what the heck is this? And I'm so confused. Like I'm turned on by what I'm reading, but I'm kind of horrified by what I'm reading. And so he goes to see Brad and sort of see this person in person.
Cooper ultimately follows Brad into the showers of a gym. Like full on buys a gym membership and strips next to him in a shower.
Then again, he's going into the shower. I should not go into the shower after him. I'm going into the shower. Now, I should not look. I'm gonna look.
And the camera pans to Brad and his formidable penis.
And, you know, yeah, it was written as impressive. And, you know, this tool that had given his wife so much pleasure. And again, to be sort of intimidating in that way, but really to be all about, oh my gosh, Cooper has gone down the rabbit hole himself.
How do you cast a penis?
Well, we did not ask anyone to drop trow. I will say that. It was not a body double. The question that people ask me is, was it a prosthetic or not? And I will only say what Adam Demos says, which is that a gentleman never tells. So I leave that up to the viewer's imagination, including, you know, the conversations that would have to take place to film something. Understood. Like that.
Was the point of showing Brad's big, beautiful penis to counter the fact that Brad is the worst?
That's awesome. That's awesome. You should put that on a t-shirt. Like, he's the worst. And then on the back, but he has a big dick. I'd like to think that he has offered a couple more things in addition to that. But, you know, it's all about what floats your boat, whatever does it. It's like, he buys all of the magazines that include your first published article. That's what does it for some people. And a big penis is what does it for others.
Get you a guy that can do both. But the reason Sex Life was so popular wasn't about support or size. It was about the master plan of the series as a whole.
This is the kind of sex we want. This is how we want men to touch us. This is what we dream about. This is how we want it to feel. And then in filming it, it was all about her experience. You know, instead of the woman being objectified or the camera hanging on the woman's body for our pleasure, it's all about Billy's experience. And the camera hangs on the men's bodies, frankly, because that's what her gaze is and her pleasure. That is the focus story-wise of each of the scenes. And then, of course, it's wrapped up in what at least I, as a woman, think is sexy, with a lot of slow motion and jewel-toned lighting and this beautiful needle drops, the songs. So it's sort of wrapping all of that up in this elevated package and honoring it. It's a way of saying this is worthy of filming in such a way. This is a story that's worth telling, and really honoring female sexuality in that way. Esther Perel talks about a lot of mating in captivity, you know, and how do you get the security and the safety and the connection that is a very human need that we all crave, I believe, but also that zhuzh and the, you know, eroticism and the and that fun. And it's finding a way to have both of those things with one person, and they haven't gotten there yet.
This is why we need a polyamorous season two, Stacey.
Yes, that is definitely one way to go. Like I said, I read everything. I know the people who want Brad and Cooper to hook up. I know the people who want open marriage, polyamory, you know, an exciting time in television where we are saying that it's okay to have desires. And here are a bunch of stories that are saying, it's okay to have it, and it will burst forth from you if you try to deny it or put it in a box.
You don't need a nudge to say it's okay to express your desires. You know that already, be it with your friends on Twitter or with your mom. Because the way streaming is headed, it seems like someone's finally listening. This episode was produced by myself, along with Jasmine Aguilera, Noor Bouzidi, and Skylar Swenson. Edited by Jolie Myers. Executive produced by Hannah Rosen and Ashar Kerwa. Mixed by Alex Higgins. Special thanks to Elise Bergeson and Kelly Prime. We are the product of New York Magazine. Subscribe today to support all their work at thecut.com/subscribe. I'm B.A. Parker. Thanks for listening.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniels, Tennessee Honey, and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari, W, and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Celebrate Earth Month this April by harnessing the power of Mother Nature with Nature's Sunshine's new power line. From Power Greens with over 200 plant-based nutrients to support gut health and foundational nutrition, to Power Beets that can improve performance and blood flow. Not to mention Power Meal, which delivers plant-based calories from whole foods to help keep you both energized and feeling satisfied throughout the day. This Earth Month, you can enjoy 25% off your first order with code NSP. Just go to naturesunshine.com. That's naturesunshine.com and use code NSP for 25% off your first order.